what we were supposed to do, but I'm going to do it a little bit different. But I'm going to get back to this. What's my purpose is a very important question also for sports, for athletes. So I just, you know, Global Sports Sunday for me is a very special day. And you might think, well, why is it so special? Why do we as a church need to, you know, give attention to sports and faith? Or why is it so special to me? Well, let me tell you a bit about myself. As you see on these pictures, sports is a big part of my life. I grew up in a city close to Amsterdam, a reasonably sized city. My parents are both Christians. They brought me to church every Sunday. And at the age of 9, I went to this youth camp, Christian youth camp, and I gave my heart to Christ. Right, I was 9 years old, and up to this day, I'm pretty sure he's never left. Right, when I asked him to come and live in my heart, he stayed there forever, which is really cool. Right, I'm grateful for my parents, which is they really passed on the faith to me. But next to Jesus being in my heart, I had another great passion, which is sports. I did numerous amounts of sports. I did football. I do running, cycling. I've done tennis. I've tried a lot. My main sport eventually became speed skating. But I was just, like I said, I was super competitive. I loved to compete. Not so much that I did everything to win, but I just liked the matchup between people, right? And throughout my sporting life, I just love it when you have an opponent that gets the best out of you. Whether you win or lose, I just, you know, the competitive, yeah, that really brings something in me. So, super competitive, like I told you about my brother, even the ride to church on Sunday mornings was a Tour de France stage, right? We raced to church, and we kept scores, yeah. And I was older, so I usually won. But, until the age of 14, I even combined two sports, football and speed skating. I liked them both equally. Football was, you know, was not my talent, but I loved it. And at one point, both coaches came to me and they said, Jan, you need to choose football or skating. And actually, my football coach, not in a negative way, but he said, you know, you should go skating. So, says it all. So I went skating and that put me on a trajectory of a professional, towards a professional speed skating career. So at one point, you know, the intensity of my speed skating grew, and the races I qualified were more and more on Sunday mornings. During the week, I was training. I couldn't make it always to youth group. So during those years between 14 and somewhere before my 20s, I Jesus was still in my heart, but it wasn't really something I was doing something with. I knew I was a Christian, but somehow these two things, sports and faith, they didn't really go together. And the higher I got into speed skating, the more they felt like two separate things. You know, when I was at the church, people really didn't understand why I would put so much time in a hobby. But when I was at training with my friends, speed skating friends, they just didn't understand why I would even want to go to church, why I would sacrifice a training session on Sunday morning or a race even sometimes on Sunday morning to go to church. Why would you? I just didn't feel at home in both worlds in that sense. And the more I got into it, the more it felt like I needed to make a decision, a choose between one or the other. And I grew up a little. Some series of events got me more thinking about my faith, about Christ, and the importance of that. And some other stuff happened that, you know, I really got to that point that I need to make a decision. And I choose to follow Christ. I wanted to grow in my faith, so I quit speed skating, right? Sounds really cool, right? If you put it that way, I choose for Christ, right? It's a good thing to do. But, here we go, but. For me, it didn't feel really good. Of course, I felt good about choosing for Christ, right? I actually, around those years, I got baptized, and I felt really good about it. But something was off. And I think this feeling, the first time it came out was when a friend, a good friend, who was still a friend of mine, he came to me just after church. I was trying to get home, and he said to me, "Jan, I've heard you stopped skating, right?" So he said something like, "Well, that's probably a good thing, right? Because, you know, sports and faith, you know, professional sports and faith, they just don't go together, right?" And seriously, I'm not a violent person, and probably should never be one because I'm small. But I was about to punch the guy. I was just frustrated about it. I was like, "Dude, do you know what you're saying? I just don't understand, because the way I am made, everything in my body breathes sport. I just love it with everything. Everything I do is just sports. If I don't do sports, I get cranky. Ask my wife." Right? And then you say that as a Christian, God made me with the gift and talents that you have, but when you become a Christian, this gift that you have, sports, just doesn't work in church, man. Too bad. If that's the God I serve, I don't know if I want to serve him. Right? It's just making a joke out of my life, basically. So that was my frustration. Because if you make me a certain way, then if I'm not allowed to do anything with it, fuck, why did you do it? Right? So that was a moment. Somebody called it, translation is always difficult, but probably holy discomfort, something that I've been carrying around the rest of my life until now, basically. Just figuring that out. What does it mean if you are made for sports, clearly, and you're a Christian? How does sports and faith come together? It's been a quest for me for years, and right now, I'm on stage trying to give you the answers to it. So let's see how it goes. But sports and faith, right? When they come together, let's put it in a math equation. I don't know if anybody studies math, but what do we get if we put sports and faith together? Let's start there. Because when I asked this, not so long ago, I was at a sports camps, and I asked the coaches. It was a Christian sports camps for the Next Move, the organization I work with. And I asked the coaches the same question. Like, what do you get when you put sports and faith together? I was like, these are Christians. They do sports. They should know, right? And they come up with answers like, "Well, it will probably change the way I treat the referee. It will probably change the way I talk to my opponents." And I was like, yeah, that's not bad answers. Probably your faith will change your character and your behavior, yes. But I don't think it's a satisfying answer. Just, you know, to me, it's just the things around sports. It's not sports. Right? But maybe if I change the sports for something else, it will help you guys. Because what if I say, if we put music and faith together? If we put music and faith together here in church, we call it worship. Right? If you have a talent for music, to play music, you can worship God by singing, by playing your instrument. And that's what we call worship. Right, and I just want to take you to the Bible just to not say, "Hey, I made this up myself." So it's good to, you know, have the Bible on hand. So just to build a case for this, that sports can be worship, is let's start in Colossians 1, verse 16. That says, "For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible." And then it goes on a little bit, "all the things are created." And then it says, "All things have been created through him and for him." What does it mean if something is created for him? It's for his glory, right? Well, it's not a very strong case yet, because are we saying that God created sports? Well, right? We came up with sports, officially. But we can say that, you know, God, in the beginning, we read in Genesis that God created us in his image. He created us with creativity to create stuff for ourselves. He created us with the human, build the characteristics of the human body, are able to do sports, and we have been creative enough to do so. And if a great part of humanity goes wild on running after a ball and kicking it in the net, what does that say about God if he created us in it to his image? He might like football. I don't know. But it's interesting, right? We always think about worship, or we tend to think about worship as a very spiritual thing. We go to church and worship God, but all things are created to worship him, to glorify him. And I just want to talk a little bit about worship a little bit more, because I'm just making the statement, sports and faith, it can be worship, right? It can be, for somebody who hasn't thought about that before, it can be very like, but how then, right? Because worship is a little bit the way we've been using it in church language, it doesn't get it close to sports very easily. So I want to take you to the verse in Romans 12, verse 1. And in Romans, you know, Paul is very long sentences, he's explaining the grace, like that we've been saved by grace. There's mercy, and it's not because of what we do, but it's because of the grace of God that we've been saved. And then at verse 12, it starts right there. Therefore, because we've been saved by grace, because, you know, the mercy of God, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. There it is. So when I was on my quest trying to find out how sports and faith go together, this was one of those moments, right, when somebody explained this or put this verse in front of my face and explained it in this context. Because here, worship is so much more than just going to church on Sunday singing songs. And there's nothing wrong with it, right? I'm not trying to beat on people that really like to sing songs. But God has not given me the talent to sing. Everybody who sits next to me on Sunday knows. And he didn't have given me the talent to do music, because I've tried, right? When I was sports, I thought, oh, I need to worship God. Let's try to make some music. I took guitar lessons and stuff like that. Didn't work out. Really, probably it did. Probably God. I thought one day that God did that on purpose, so he put me on this trajectory to, you know, do sports and faith as worship. But anyway, Romans 12, verse 1. So first of all, it shows that when this is your true and proper worship, it's about physical. It's about giving your life as a living sacrifice. So first of all, there's a lot to say about this verse, right? But a sacrifice, normally you kill it first before you sacrifice it, or killing it is the sacrifice, right? And we're supposed to be a living sacrifice, which is, especially in this context of the Jewish tradition, this is mind-blowing. How can you be a living sacrifice? But we are, in a way, we're dead, but we're also still a living sacrifice. That's what we're called to be. So, and with this, worship becomes a very physical thing. It's about how you give your body, your physical stuff, as a living sacrifice, right? It's not about feeling or something. It's not about, if I do worship, I need to feel a certain way, or I need to feel a connection with God. It's about actions here. Okay? So it's about how you live. And this is a lesson I learned from a very wise man who sat in front of me for a few years in the Athletes in Action office. And that was the first time I was thinking about this verse. And I was at that point running a lot, right? And I was like, okay, so when I run, this is my worship. And I was trying to get these feelings or vibes, or feeling close to God, or putting on worship music when I was running. I don't know you guys, but I don't like to run with music on, but I did it anyway. Because I thought, oh, this is worship, right? But this verse, it says this at the end. So if you give your body as a living sacrifice, it says this is your true and proper worship. It doesn't say, well, if you run or give your body as a living sacrifice and you feel very spiritual, or you do it while praying, or if you run but you have to be nice to the referee, then it's proper worship, right? It is about worship is about you and God. Right, and it doesn't have to be feeling. Just do it, and from there go into worship. I had this verse taped, or how do you call it, on the wall in my shower, because sometimes when I run, I don't feel very spiritual, right? But I knew I would end up in that shower, you know, getting the dust off, and it would remind me just to say a prayer to God, say thanks for letting me be able to do it. And it helped me to bring God into my sports. So I want to get back. So I need to bridge the gap to identity, right? You remember? So I want to get back to Colossians 1 verse 16, because there's a thing probably everybody has or feels, maybe if you're aware of what your talents is or trying to figure it out. Because it says, Colossians 1 16, it says, all things were created by him and for him. And I don't know, I was lucky to have a very, I said, obvious talent, speed skating. Not many people can do it. And I was aware of that talent, and people liked me because of my talent, right? So probably this verse would, in my mind, go a little bit more like, all things were created by him and for me, right? I would get a big part of my identity out of my talents, a lot of my talents, you know. And identity is a weird thing, because we all know, right? Identity, yeah, we have to have strong identities, right? And we all know that we are supposed to focus on that and stuff like that. But identity, when you come to think of it, you don't get born with an identity, right? You get born with some character. You get born with character. I mean, when our kids get born, they had character. But there's things you get born with, but you don't get born with an identity. You evolve it during your life, right? And actually, it gets formed by the voices that come from outside and that you accept as truth, right? And that's, in a way, it's positive, because if you have good parents, you know, they speak good words about you, and you have a positive identity. That's why fatherlessness or you know, single parent houses, that's why that's a problem, because it, you know, your parent, you want to have stable parents, right? But but also in sports, right? Many athletes, because they hold the whole world of sports is being built around that. You have to perform, and then you're good enough, right? And when I was in skating, that was what I did, right? I knew I could perform, so then whenever I won, people liked me. And whenever I lost, I made up excuses, right? Sometimes it turned the other way around. I didn't do a race to win, but I raced it not to lose. The end result was probably the same, me ending up somewhere in front. But the motivation behind it was different. And that's another topic. Identity, when I talk about identity, there's this story that I really, really like about identity, is the story of Jesus being baptized. So we all know the story, right? He goes to John the Baptist, who is living in the desert with eating wild stuff. And just interesting, and then he comes in. So John the Baptist is preaching, and at one point Jesus comes up, and John says, like, nah, you shouldn't baptize me. I'm not worthy, right? And then Jesus, no, we have to do it. Okay, so they do it. Jesus gets baptized, really beautiful moment, you know, heaven opens up, and then Spirit comes on Jesus. And then a beautiful thing happens. It said that, you know, the Spirit of the voice of God comes out of heaven, and it says, this is my son whom I love, I am well pleased with him, right? We know this, right? But so first of all, even Jesus needed it, right? Jesus needed to hear what he was. I was talking about parents. Jesus needed to hear the voice of his father to confirm his identity. Jesus was not only Jesus as in God, but also fully human. And the second thing, it's not so long ago that somebody pointed it out to me. And this moment, we think of Jesus like, okay, yeah, of course, Jesus, of course God loves Jesus, man. He's the miracle guy. He's going to save the world. Of course God loves him. But at this point in time, Jesus has not performed any miracles. He has not saved anybody. The only thing he did before this was get lost in Jerusalem and get born. That's what we know about Jesus before this, right? So even, and I think God did this on purpose, but yeah, of course he did. But it's a very important starting of Jesus' ministry. We always say, no, Jesus' ministry started with turning water into wine. No, this is where it started, right? God telling him, I love you anyway. You haven't performed anything yet, but I love you, right? And that's a big part of when we're talking about identity, and that's why it is so important that we've done this series on identity, is that we need to be aware of that every single day, that God loves us, whether we perform or not, right? And with athletes, you know, 9 out of 10 conversations go this direction, like, and then I say, do you really believe that there's nothing you can do in the world that, you know, nothing positive that you can do that will take care of it, that God will love you more? There's nothing. But the other way is true as well, right? That there's nothing in the world that you can do that will make God love you less. Right? God loves you already, unconditionally, 100%. It cannot be any more. It cannot be any less. Right? And with athletes who are, you know, whose lives are going about performing, right, and judging on that performance, this is a very vital message, but it's a vital message for everybody, right? Whether you're in studies or in a job, this society is about performing, right? But I truly believe, even for the athletes that I coach, that if you have this knowledge, like, I am loved 100%, no matter what I do, that you will be able to perform much better because there's not that pressure of performing, right? So that's why identity is so important. And I want to share a story that I've heard, so it's not my story, but I've heard of a coach. He's a coach in the Premier League in England, and he's a Christian. And so, you know, Premier League, high-pressure environment, you win and lose sometimes. Usually, you, as a coach, the statistics is that you win or you lose more than you win, and you have to deal with that, right? And the worst thing you have to deal with is press, right? If you have had a bad game, press will come. Like, hey, what happened? And that's like 2 minutes after the game. Like, what did go wrong? And you might even know yourself, or you know it, but you don't want to talk about it. So this coach, as a Christian, he's like, no, I want to work on this. So what he does, he asks himself the question. After the game, you know, game's over, whistle blows, shakes some hands. He takes about 2 minutes, goes inside, locks himself up in the room, and takes about 2 minutes, and he asks himself this question. Am I safe or am I scared? Safe or scared? Safe or scared? And especially if you lost, he's probably scared, right? Scared to go to the media, scared to go to the team, scared to say the harsh, because he has to say some harsh words. But he has this verse in his locker room, really largely print on his desk, probably. And he says, and it says this, it's Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. For it's by grace you have been saved through faith, and it's not from yourself, it's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So, and then he goes back, am I safe or am I scared? And he knows, I am safe, right? Those reporters outside, it's going to be tough, it's not going to be fun, but I'm safe, right? So whenever you get in a situation that you get scared about your performance, about if you've done it right or not, ask yourself the question, right? Am I safe or am I scared? And then turn to the Bible and read this verse. I promise, I really believe it helps, and I really like the example. So yeah, I just wanted to give you that. So then from identity, we need to go to finish up the series on what's our purpose, right? What's our purpose here? What if you know your identity, if you know you're safe, then what's our purpose? Well, the first of all, I think I've already given away, right? In Romans 12, it says, go give your body as a living sacrifice. this is your true and proper worship. First is, you are called to worship. And when I say worship, I don't mean you're called to come on Sundays and sing songs here. It's good. It's really good to do. I'm not against it. But when I say worship, I say go out and worship. Go out from here and worship. Give your body as a living sacrifice. That's where the real, I don't want to say it that hard, but that's where worship happens. When we start giving our body as a living sacrifice outside, right? So what's your purpose is to go and worship. Go outside. And then this might sound a bit big, right? Like, oh man, but then where do I go? All these non-believers, right? Where do I go? Well, I've got a verse for that as well. Ephesians 2, verse 10, we just did Ephesians 2 and 8, right? Which are very difficult verses, but some hard to process verses for athletes. It's not about performance. It's not about what you do. It's about grace. Well, then we go to Ephesians 2, verse 10. And there it says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Right? When we think about callings or purpose, we tend to make it very big. But I really, really like this verse. We are saved by grace. It's not about what we do. Now go out and do good stuff. That's basically what Paul says. And God tells us to do. It's not about big callings. It's about go in and do good stuff. And the funny thing is, God already prepared them for us, right? You don't have to look for them. You just go out, worship, and serve people, and do good stuff. You'll find them. It's not rocket science to find places to do good stuff. You know, you can start with your neighbors. Just say hi in the morning. That's a good thing. And when you go to your job, get some extra coffee for your colleagues along the way. I don't know. When you play sports, make sure you come early. You know, set up the field, bring the balls, clean the shirts if needed. You know, that kind of stuff. That's good stuff. You can start there. From there, you can make it grow, right? God will show you. I've gotten into the habit of, I've had a job as a cycling messenger. I can leave that out, but it's a lot of guys who like to cycle bikes, so sports. And I've gotten into the habit when I was working there, it's just before going there, just say a prayer, Lord, I'm going to go there, be in my sporting environment. If there's anything good I can do, show me, right? So just do it. Go to school, go to your job, go wherever you go, but pray before, and there will be good things for you to do. And it's fun to do good things, right? Let's not put any pressure on it. It's just helping people, man. All right. And then the third thing, as a good sermon requires, you need to have 3 points. Let's go. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. And this is, I've been a bit, I'll just go ahead. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. "But you are chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, so that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his world of wonderful light." Okay. We have something to declare, right? We have something to tell the world. And the first time, you know, when you read this verse, it sort of sounds like you have to go to Grote Markt, stand up and say, like, "I have something to declare the praises of God." All right, you can try. It might do something, right? If God calls you to do it. But I heard this sermon about it once. We Christians, it really inspired me. He said, we Christians should be absolutely normal about being Christians, right? And I learned this lesson early, when I was in high school. I was a little bit ashamed of my faith, right? I was also struggling with sports and faith, and I had faith, but I liked sports more, and I wasn't really comfortable about telling people that I went to church on Sunday, and I was going to a non-Christian school, so better that people not know, right? That's what if they don't ask, I'm not going to tell them. That's my attitude. But then this crazy thing happened. We had to take we had to give presentations, right? And we were all allowed to do whatever topic you wanted, right? I don't even know my topic anymore, but there was this friend of mine. His name was Muhammad. Obviously, you know, he was a Muslim. He was a good friend of mine. He was a great runner. He beat me. So, yeah. Really hard. But he was a good friend of mine. And I didn't know what his presentation was about, but he showed up in school before his presentation with his robe on. He was going to do a presentation about being a Muslim, right? He was like, hey, I'm a Muslim. I'm going to tell you what that is. And I was like, ooh, okay. So that's normal. And everybody was actually pretty excited about it. Everybody wanted to know. And I was like, but I'm a Christian. Should I? How does that, huh? So that just messed up my mind for a while. But honestly, guys, I still have it, right? When somebody asks me, hey, what did you do yesterday? If I go for whatever tomorrow, and somebody's asking me, like, hey, what did you do yesterday? Well, I was in church giving a sermon. Oh, that, like, I expect a negative thing, right? If it's a non-Christian, then. But why should we be ashamed of it? Because we have something to declare, right? Are we not happy with our faith? Are we not just saying, this faith, it has saved my life first, and it just gives me so much more pleasure and joy in life that you want to share it? So, you know, when somebody asks you one day, what do you do? You say, well, I went to church. It was fun, right? Let's try it. We had fun today. We're going to do sports, so it's going to be funny anyway. But, I mean, and in this lesson that I learned from it, the guy said, if you really want to, you know, go and declare and see if there's an opening, make sure that if you go that way, be positive about Christianity. Just whenever you, just be normal about it and bring it up. Make sure you put Jesus in the question. So this is a very practical tip. Put Jesus in the question. So if somebody says, how was your weekend? You go, yeah, cool, I went to church. And the person goes, okay, cool. Do you ever go to church? Nah. Okay, then move on, right? You know what time it is. But if he says, well, I went with my, you can ask another question. How was that for you? Right? Ask questions and put Jesus in. Just dare to do it. Create the opening. And honestly, I've seen people that I thought were far off, right? We all know those guys. You think, nah, they're never going to be a Christian. Just asking one question, and they open up, right? Not always positive, to be honest. But just then something comes out. They react on it. So I encourage you to declare the praise of him. And in that, just think about what God has done for you, why it's so positive for you. Why are you so happy with your faith, right? Because that's the praises that you can share. All right, so summary. I'm going fast. Go out and worship. You know, this week, think about it. When you go out, worship God. Give your body as a living sacrifice. And sometimes you'll not be doing very well. You think like, oh, no, I messed up. That's okay. That's grace. Try again. And then from that, just do the good stuff that's already been prepared for you. Like, you can help everybody, but just do help the people that are in front of you, that God has put in front of you. And then declare the praises of his name. All right, since it is Global Sports Sunday, I need to get back to that. And since the world is praying for the world of sports, I want to get to that. So we're going to do something interactive again, a little bit. I want all the people that are part of a sports club or team to stand up. Sorry? Fun? Yeah. We might get to that. We need to have some people sitting down in the end. So, all right. So stand if you are most likely to be going on a run today or this week or a bike ride. No. All the people that are already standing, stay standing. And then all the people that are not part of a club but most likely will go on a run or a bike ride this week. All right. Oh, I'm getting more than I expected. Good. So stand if you're probably going to the gym somewhere this week.
Hi, gym people.
So now, stand up if you're probably going to drop off your kids to sports or swimming lessons this week.
Yeah, we already had those people.
So stand up if you are a volunteer in the sports community. No? Stand up if you are currently injured but can't wait to go out and do sports again.
Good.
Stand up if you are going to be involved in sports in any way this week.
All right.
So do we have everybody? No, almost everybody. Okay. Stand up if you're the winner of the Rock, Scissor, Paper, Rock, Scissor, Paper.
Nah. Yeah.
All right, guys. So I was just saying, we are all, in one way or another, most of us are involved with sports, right? And I know this might not be your first thing, or you're just doing it because it's healthy and you're like, oh, I hate sports, but I'm doing it anyway. That might be, or you just... But we're all involved in sports. So at this moment, I wanted to ask you to take a moment to make groups, maybe 3-4 people, and pray for your involvement in sports and pray for the world of sports in general. So just find 2, 3, 4 people and take a small time just to pray. And just pray for the world of sports as we are all doing that all over the world today.